34. The World and Its Prince. Continuing the consideration of that from which Christ has freed us, this chapter will deal with two of our deadly enemies, the world and Satan. First, the world. Satan is the god and prince of this present evil world system. We see this in John 12:31 and 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. The world is the chief weapon by which Satan ever seeks to cripple the Christian. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father but of the world. 1 John 2:16. And the whole world lieth in the wicked one. 1 John 5:19. So first we look at the worldly Christian. It is in the environment of this world that the Adam nature is at home and flourishes. The believer who is dominated by the old nature is bound to be worldly. He feels that he can live for God effectively on a carnal level. He imagines that such a manner of life and service will attract the world to an unworldly saviour. Others go to the opposite extreme by attempting to live for God through legalistic measures. But this is resorting to the wrong realm of life. We read, "If then you have died with Christ to material ways of looking at things, and have escaped from the world's crude and elemental notions and teachings of externalism, why do you live as if you still belong to the world? Why do you submit to rules and regulations such as do not handle this, or do not taste that, do not even touch them," referring to things all of which perish with being used? To do this is to follow human precepts and doctrines. We read in Colossians 2, verses 20 to 23 the following. Such practices have indeed the outward appearance that popularly passes for wisdom. In promoting self-imposed rigour of devotion and delight in self-humiliation and severity of discipline of the body. But they are of no value in checking the indulgence of the flesh, the lower or the old nature. Instead, they don't honour God, but serve only to indulge the flesh. Fleshly means are futile, whether utilised to win the world or to avoid the world. Whenever passes as a cloud between the mental eye of faith and things unseen, causing the brighter world to disappear, or seem less lovely, or its hope less dear. This is our world, our idol, though it bear affection's impress, or devotion's air. Next, we look at the Christ-centered Christian. The risen Lord Jesus is the abiding place and environment of our new nature, and it is in that life that we are to walk, for our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3 verse 20. It is there, abiding above, that we fellowship and grow. And it is from there that we minister here in this lost and needy world. Although we are in the world, we are not of it. We are primarily here in order for God to be glorified in us and the Lord Jesus to be manifested through us for the sake of others. Conduct yourselves properly, honourably, righteously among the Gentiles, so that although they may slander you as evildoers, yet they may be witnessing your good deeds, which are come to glorify God. 1 Peter 2 verse 12. To escape from the reign and the corroding influence of the world, we must count on the work of the cross, by which we were crucified to the world and the world was crucified to us. Galatians 6:14. The source of our Christian life is neither in the worldly nature, nor in the worldly system. We are to look to another world for all of our reservoirs. If or since then you have been raised up with Christ, keep on seeking the things above, whereby Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are here on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Colossians 3, verses 1 to 3. We now look at Satan. Both the cross and the risen Lord Jesus separate us from the reign of Satan. At Calvary, we died out of his kingdom of darkness and death. And in the resurrection, we were born into the Son's kingdom of light and life. In Colossians 1, verses 12 and 13, we read the following. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And so, with respect to Satan, we're going to look at three areas. To resist Satan, to stand in our position, and to rest. First, resist. Satan would seek to bluff us out of our position of safety. But we are to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. 1 Peter 5:8 and 9. And neither give place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27. And submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4, verse 7. Our resistance to the enemy is on the basis of faith. Faith in the work of the cross, in which he was doomed and his power was broken. Through our reckoning, his defeat at Calvary is applied and we are made to triumph. Satan, although dangerous, has been defeated. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. And in Hebrews 2, verse 14, we read the following. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy and make of no effect him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Next, we are to stand. We are to stand in our position, hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3, verse 3. That we may be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians 6, verse 10. We do not have to wage war with the devil to obtain our position. Nor do we have to fight him either to maintain it or to retain it. We simply stand where we have been placed, abiding above, resisting his assaults and the fiery darts through faith in the victor, the one who defeated him and all his cohorts. At the cross, the Lord Jesus spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Colossians 2:15. And so we humbly walk in the train of his triumph. And finally, rest. Many believers, not knowing of or abiding in their position in the triumphant Lord Jesus Christ, attempt to war against and defeat the devil and his demons. Before long, Satan looms larger and stronger in their eyes, while the Lord Jesus seems to become smaller and weaker. Soon they imagine there are demons on every hand, possessing nearly everything and everybody. They become obsessed with their warfare, and before long begin to experience defeat and breakdown in the physical, the mental, moral, and the spiritual realms. If Satan can get the believer to become more aware of him than of the Lord Jesus, the inevitable result is a triumphant foe and a defeated Christian. Our responsibility is to stand fast and resist the enemy by quietly resting in our impregnable position in Christ. We read in Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10, that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And in Romans 13, verse 12, we read the following. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light. Our Father often uses the enemy as a foil to teach us to handle our weapons of defence. We are told to put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, in Ephesians 6, verse 11. Actually, the Lord Jesus is our armour, for we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh, in Romans 13, verse 14. Satan cannot touch him, and nor can he touch us in him. Even when our Father chooses to let out Satan's chain a little, the enemy's worst only proves to be God's best for the believer who stands his ground in Christ. Satan thought he was destroying the Lord Jesus on the cross. And now he attempts to do the same with the believer. But all he gets is a mouthful of ashes, his Calvary defeat. All he gets is judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. John 16, verse 11. I am thankful that the cross has closed my history as related to the world and its prince. I was a slave to the world, but now it's crucified to me and I to it. Galatians 6, 14. I was a slave to Satan, but now my Father has made me a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light and delivered me from the power of darkness. Colossians 1, verses 12 and 13.